Matthew, and the Matthew service under Henry on page 129, and the Psalm will be Psalm 47. The opening hymn is given 39.
Break loose and church and not be afraid to applaud. The St. Old Choir will have several people using an absent pitch dependent on a pitch pipe while people were applauding so that it carried this a cappella. And the other applause was too difficult for the choir to operate. So Christy wrote that grand anthem, clap your hands, all people, shout to God with voice of triumph. And let's give this song that same kind of a boost as we rise and pray together.
Before he crossed me up, I thought we were going to sing another hymn.
Well, one thing that he no. I should have. I brought myself up first.
No, we don't have to sing it.
Why not? 427.
Let's sing it afterwards. It might go better. Wasn't it great last night? I couldn't even go to sleep when I went to bed. So I got up and I rewrote my sermon a little bit because something more had to be said, I believe. A little witness had to be given, I believe, by me at least, for a wonderful celebration that's going to live a long time in my heart. Wasn't it great when we received the sacrament by name? Made it pretty personal, didn't it? Did you ever have felt exactly the same way about receiving Christ as you did last night? It was surely quite a bit more significant to me, and I'll never forget it. And it occurred to me that as we were passing this bread about and drinking of the cup, how important a name is. You know, Adam wasn't named until after the fall. If you look in the first chapters of Genesis, he's referred to as the man. And even Eve is referred to by Adam himself as the woman taken from man. And I've often wondered about the significance of that. Before the fall, simply man and woman. And I believe there wasn't any need for a name then. They were one with God. God walked with them and talked with them, and there was no need to call them by name. But now it became necessary. When man took the middle place, when man put himself in the center of everything, then he had to have a name. Then he had to be referred to by name. Then I thought of another thing about naming. You know, God must be a humorist too, because he saw that man had to have some fun. And so he said to man, you go ahead and you name all of the animals and all the birds, and I suppose the fish and everything that God had made. And I can just imagine Adam walking down to the riverbank one morning and seeing a big bulge out there he hadn't seen before, and he says to God, what's that? And God says, I don't know. What is it? You name it. And as they watched, out of this big hunk of something came a great big mouth like this. And Adam says, why, that's a hippopotamus. And God says, well, what do you call it that for? And he says, well, I don't know. It just looks like a hippopotamus. And that's the way he went along. He sees the little ant. He sees the armadillo. You know, down in southwest Texas, they have armadillos. It's a sort of a miniature tank that lumbers along. It's got a big shell over it, and you can hit it with a rock and knock it over, but it'll get up and it'll move along again. It's a member of the pig family, and he lives on grubs and worms and roots. He's quite an animal, and it's named well. It's armored. Adam did a good job on him. Then you hear about Norm Habel talking about those kangaroos in Australia. And you wonder if he ever has any coccyx trouble. Kangaroo, what an animal. Then the skylark that flies through the sky and has a big lark about it, that's a good name. And the whales and the porpoises. I can make a pun there, but I guess I won't. The dinosaurs, you know, they don't see them anymore, but I wonder what Sinclair would have done without them. All of these, the eagles, somebody told me when I was coming up here in the boat, they'd seen two bald eagles up on the peaks and the crags of the mountains. I wish I could see those. They must be majestic birds. And even the word eagle sounds great. Well, all of them, what fun Adam must have had naming all of the animals. And I think it's important to think about a name at Christmas. Jesus was named, you know, before he was ever born in the Annunciation. So was John the Baptist, the one who preceded him. And then think about all of the names in the Bible that were changed when God touched them. Abram became Abraham. Sarai became Sarah. Jacob became Israel. Saul became a Paul. And Simon, named Rocky by Jesus himself, you know. John and James, the sons of thunder. What a graphic name. But all were changed when God reached out and touched them by name. If God hadn't done this wonderful thing of coming to live among us, as one of us, our names really wouldn't mean much either. Because you really became somebody when you were baptized. You, Mary or Beth or Linda or Frank or Peter or Larry or John, whoever you are, you became you. You became somebody when Jesus touched you, when God touched you. And you were baptized with the water and the Spirit in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You became somebody. You really became a person. You became God's child, one of a royal family, a son or a daughter of God. So everyone becomes a part of the family, you see. And a loved one, because you're known by name. Your brothers and sisters under Christ. I have a brother. The blood of my father and my mother flows in his veins too. And he's quite a bit older than I am, and he's a great guy. He'd do anything for me, and I'd do anything for him, because he's my brother. When he was baptized, he was made a brother of Jesus Christ. When I was baptized, I was made a brother of Jesus Christ. And so we're in his family. I think that's something of what Jesus had in mind when he told his disciples and his followers that here and there was his father and his mother and his brothers and his sisters. Because Jesus is my big brother. Because he's my big brother, he's my only hope. You know, I try by myself. Oh boy, I try. I try to be good, you know. I try to do the right thing all the time. And I'm always stumbling and bumbling along and making a mess of things. So I lie to myself and say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. After all, if I do the best I can, that's good enough. But I know it isn't. And I cry a lot. I do. It brings tears to my eyes when I do the best I can and I can't do it. It's like a little child that gets frustrated, you know. I saw a little fellow one time. He made a little airplane out of styrofoam. And he was out in the street trying to fly it. And, of course, it wouldn't fly. He'd had it on a string, and he'd run real hard, and the thing would just drag along behind him. And finally, he got so mad, he stamped his feet, and he picked up that styrofoam plane, and he hit it with his fist because he was frustrated. It's supposed to fly. It's an airplane. And he cried a little. And then I finally find out that no matter how hard I try or how much I lie or how much I cry, I've first got to die. I've got to let myself die. And I've got to turn to that big brother of mine, and I have to say to him, you got to help me. Well, he's a good big brother. He knows little brother is going to make all kinds of mistakes while he's growing up. And he says, okay, come on. I'll pick you up and dust you off. Let's try it again together. So you see, I have a kind of a peace and contentment that I don't have otherwise, because I've got a big brother that I can turn to. He's right in my family. He knows my name. Never would have been possible if he hadn't been born, if we couldn't celebrate Christmas. Hasn't it been great to celebrate like we've been doing? Oh, I know, we celebrate here every day. But especially, all this extra work and all these extra gifts and this great way of celebrating, you know. There wasn't any big rush about going out and buying everybody presents and going to all these Christmas parties that are boring and battling large crowds of people. Last night, it was a real celebration of the greatest birth ever to take place. And no Christmas cards. That was a great thing, you know. No Christmas cards to sign and to stuff and to seal and to stamp and to address and take to the post office. The only Christmas card I got was postmarked Chelan, Washington. And it was addressed to me by name. I like that. I'll treasure that. So what do I do? If this all means so much to me, then I've got to share it, see? I've got to share it. I remember once when I was quite a bit younger, and my little four-year-old, he's 21 now, climbed up into my lap when I'd come home from work tired in the afternoon, working in the Texas heat. And I sat down and kicked off my shoes and picked up the paper and sat down in that nice, easy chair in front of the fan. She comes in and she says, Daddy, can I sit in your lap? I said, sure. Climb up. And I kept on reading the paper. And she says, Daddy, I love you. And I said, well, thanks, honey. I love you, too. That's real nice. Move over a little bit. I got to read the paper here. And so she scooched over a bit. And then she says, Daddy, I love you very much. I said, well, honey, I love you very much, too. Listen, I think Mommy's calling. She wants something. No, Daddy, she didn't call. Daddy, I love you very much, and I want to kiss you. I said, well, go ahead. And she kissed me. She said, Daddy, why don't you listen to me? I said, well, I'm listening, honey. I'm listening. What do you want to say? Well, she said, Daddy, I love you. And you know, I love you so much, I got to do something about it. Well, I put the paper down. So she had to do something about it. And she gave me a big hug around the neck and a couple more kisses. And then she was happy and she ran off. But the point is, how much do I love my God for what he did for me? Not just because he did it, but how much do I love him just because he is? Like that little girl loved her daddy just because he was. What do I do? Well, I have a job. My job is to redeem the world for Jesus Christ, and that's quite a job. But you know, I got a good lesson last night. These logs here are redeemed, John tells us. They're redeemed from what they were before to something better. Even the rocks, I thought first they were gallstones, but they're jewels. They're jewels. They're redeemed for something greater than they were before. And that plywood over there that was supposed to be someplace on a roof, I think, now becomes a baker and a nurse and a policeman to tell us certain things. You see, it says something more to us than it ever would have said up there in the roof. Not the common life, but the new life, you see. That's just preliminary to what can really be done. The logs are redeemed for a nobler purpose. And how? Because John Mackerstadt put in some hard work. That's how. And his friends that worked with him. Herb Wilkering finds words laying around and he redeems them to a nobler task of poetry. Or Norm Hebel does the same thing and then he acts them out and he actually makes them live. I'll never forget when he was down there squatting down telling him about these animals, how God made them and what they were like, and he made boys and girls, and he pointed out, and like you and you and you, and one little three-year-old didn't want to be left out and says, me too. Yeah. Larry takes plain old rocks that you and I don't even see. With a lot of work, they spring into a brilliant parable and lovely colors and pictures because Larry knows how to use the light that God gave us. But what do I do? I'm no John Mackerstadt, or I'm no Herb Brokering, and I'm no Larry, and I'm no Norm. What do I? What does Vern Moore do about this sort of thing? Well, I don't really know. But this I do know. I'm going to do what I can. And I'm going to take my place in this royal family because Jesus, my big brother, has named me as one of his brothers. I'm in it. I'm with it. I'm one of them. My big brother's going to come to me and say, come on, Vern, let's go out and change the world. Let's go out and change the world by changing the church. By changing the congregation. But first of all, by changing you, huh? And there's where I'll start. I got a new name when I was baptized. I was recognized by that name last night in the sacrament. And I celebrate my name in Jesus from every moment forward because he's my big brother. And I'll celebrate by doing and saying what I can along the lines of that great hymn that Martin Luther penned so many years ago, that Christmas hymn from Himmel Hoch. From heaven above to earth I come to bear good news to every home. Glad tidings of great joy I bring, whereof I now will say and sing. To you this night is born a child of Mary, chosen mother mild. This little child of lowly birth shall be the joy of all the earth. Were earth a thousand times as fair, beset with gold and jewels rare, she yet were far too poor to be a narrow cradle, Lord, to thee. Ah, dearest Jesus, holy child, make thee a bed soft, undefiled within my heart, that it might be a quiet chamber kept for thee. Glory to God in the highest heaven, who unto man his Son hath given, while angels sing with pious mirth a glad new year to all on earth. That's all.
Praise that I reserved before the sermon and forgot 427. And during that hymn of praise, we'll just be glad for all the elves that have worked so much to make it Christmas. Because I just try to think of how can I thank them tonight? I'm going to thank them as I take the cup of the Lord again and give praise to the Lord's people. So this is the heaven is above us. They brought it inside of us. And all the colors of heaven and all the wonder of the and the breath of the Spirit that comes to you. It's been a great time. We'll sing our hymn of praise, and the following which we'll have the girls and match their little pantomime. I don't know, they want to call it a dance, but their little Christmas tree ballet, 427.
Thank you.
mechanical after that, but I don't know. We should. We have a way of messing up a little bit on it. So we will fail the canticle of our praise to God, which is our creed in the form of praise. On page 150. For the first day, I'm going to pray the first of Advent and of the second service on the Sunday. We follow with them with the power. Canticle on page 150.
Holy Ghost, dark one God, world without end. Amen. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise.